Hey friends, welcome to The Stationery Cafe, your podcast for everything stationery, journaling, planning related, and fun things happening in the community. I'm April from Penguins Creative on Instagram, and in today's episode, I'm happy to invite Miranda from Havoc Rose Writes, also known as Havoc Rose on Twitch. She is the executive editor of IGN, a video game and entertainment media company, but she's also a stationery lover and enthusiast. I started following Miranda through her weekly stationery streams on Twitch, and I'm excited to dive into her stationery journey and story today. Hey, Miranda, welcome to the Stationery Cafe.
Hi, April. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you today because I've been a big fan of your Twitch live stream.
Thank you.
It's so exciting to finally introduce like another stationery enthusiast for our listeners, and especially since I have a little backstory I would like to tell first regarding you and like why I feel so much affinity, and it actually has to do with my husband.
Maybe another.
I know we matched today. This will actually be up in video later in the week, so you guys can look forward to see Miranda actually show off her stationery. Yeah. But when I first like kind of came across you, you actually joined. Someone joined the Facebook community saying, "Oh, Havoc Rose is streaming stationery," and mentioned you on Twitch. And I was like, "What? Stationery on Twitch? That's interesting." Because my perception of Twitch is just gamer world. Like my husband is super into Dota, and like he watches Twitch all the time, and it's where gamers like message the person streaming. And this is whole community. And I was like, that was literally the first time I went on to Twitch to look for content rather than, you know, it playing in the background when my husband's watching Dota streams. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that made it really interesting for me was initially when I met my husband, he's so into Dota and the gaming world, and I had a little prejudice about it's gaming, it's so much video game, like it's not important. And then as I got to know more about him and his like passion for Dota, I realized it's just like me and my obsession with stationery. There's actually a parallel between these kind of like, I think, passion towards things we really love. And then now seeing you, and you mentioned that you also are a crazy Dota player. And I shook Ellie. I'm like, oh my God, Miranda plays Dota too.
I actually just got invited to play because there's a big update in Dota.
The latest patch.
Yeah, and so my friends are like, Dota, we need one. And I'm like, no, I have to talk about stationery. But Dota later. Yeah, I'm definitely in the trouble spot of I have like two very big passions. One of them is my job, one of them is not. They both occupy a lot of time, but there's a lot of fun ways to mix them. So that's
cool. I know. I felt like it's finally the cross section of like the two hobbies kind of going together. Mm-hmm. And there used to be like this kind of exclusivity about stationery being something else, or like video game being something people frown upon. And I'm now just embracing both together. And like, you're also the perfect example that does that, because you stream not only stationery, but also games as well. Yes. Right. So both things. Well, let's start first with a little bit about you. Why don't you tell the audience like who you are, and then also when did you start journaling? Like when did this journey start?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Miranda. Hello. I work at IGN, which is a video game entertainment website. So we do more than just video games. We talk about movies and anime and TV shows too. But I'm specifically on our games team, and journaling has always sort of been a big passion for me. I guess more so planning. I kind of fell out of love with journaling for a long time for no reason in particular. I definitely had a lot of composition notebooks in high school of just like my thoughts and just scribbles. But that really started at a very young age for me. April, do you know about the Scholastic Book Fair?
Oh, I know. It's that once a year, and you get to pick like all these like young adult children stuff, and sometimes even accessories.
Yes.
For the books.
So when I was a kid in elementary school, I loved the book fair. Yes, I loved books, but also they had stationery. And so there were two journals that I remember very fondly actually having. One was this pink journal that sort of had like an AOL theme to it. It's just like, you know, internet web sort of like little tabs in it. And it just was very cute and a theme. And I know I loved it so much, but I also know I never wrote in it. because I was scared to like mess it up.
Oh my God, that started at a young age.
Yeah. However, I also have this one. This is actually, I think, the oldest journal I have, which is this cat journal. It's like the diary that has the little clasp and the lock on it that you can easily break and get into, which I maybe had to do to get into this. But this was like from fourth grade, and I have like from 2004, Miranda Sanchez, just little writings in here. And it's so cool seeing that. And I was so dumb.
I know, reading old entries is like the funniest thing. Like even me reading stuff from like 5 years ago, I was like, April, you're so dumb.
Yes. Yeah. It's just like, wow, what was I thinking? And I definitely didn't finish it, but I got really a good chunk of the way in it for being a kid, and I kept returning to it. And it's cute to see that, right? Like, I think it's so lovely. And that's something that I've loved about journaling and talking about even more now, is that you can go back to these old memories that you have and relive them and re-experience yourself and get to know yourself in a different way that I don't think you would have had if you didn't write down those thoughts. And
Absolutely.
So this has always just been a big thing for me, at least when I was a kid. And then kind of in college, I sort of fell out of journaling, I guess, not for any reason particular, just, you know, you get busy, you have your phone, you're just doing other things. I think that's actually when I got an iPhone, so that's why I just kind of transitioned to stuff.
Tech took over the analog.
Yeah, I always had good stickers, though. Those never left me. But then eventually I started finding different planners that I liked, because I realized that with college, at least, like, I was doing a lot. Like, I graduated early because I wanted to graduate early and get out of, I was in Oklahoma, and shout out to anybody who lives in Oklahoma, but also, I'm sorry, I was
just You're in California now.
I gotta go now. Now I live in California, and my whole goal was to just, you know, graduate early. I could have done other stuff, but in order to do that, I did have to stay really organized. So that's sort of when I got back into planning. I wish I still had my planners from back then. I unfortunately don't, but that was really cool. And so from there, I kind of took all my journaling habits and planning habits from college and took them with me to my full-time job now at IGN, where I have been at as of for like 6 years now.
Wow. And I guess as an editor, there's a lot of writing that goes into it, like combined with your love for books. I think it just translates really a lot into using tools to write and like finding a place to house those thoughts or like, you know, the writings and stuff.
Absolutely. So a lot of our work is done obviously on the computer, since we are a website and not just a, sorry for the beeping in the background. We got someone backing up out there. So a lot of the stuff is digital, but I find it easier for me to edit my own work, especially if I'm on a tight deadline, to like print it out and get a good pen and just really mark it up. But of course, because we're dealing with reviewing, say, video games, which instead of like a movie or TV show is like 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours, video games can be 40 to 100 hours. So you gotta take a lot of notes. So I have so many notebooks of just like notes, and of course they're all cute. So many Rilakkuma, so many other ones. I'm so lucky San Francisco has good stationery shops, because I remember when I visited and I found my first Midori notebook, and I said, what is this? and then I don't use any other notebooks since. Like, I mean, I've started experimenting with other paper this year, but those are always my go-to for going to interviews, because we do a lot of interviews. And so I have to, like, you know, be able to trust my paper and my pens to work well on the fly, because like those notes, it happens once, and sure, I have the recording, but those notes are so important for getting the job done.
Yeah.
And then of course there's a lot to manage as far as our projects and deadlines, and I think a lot of people do a good job of keeping it on the computer, but for me it definitely helps to write that down, and I'm gonna make sure when I do that it's gonna be cute. So
exactly. Does your like coworkers look at your stash and be like, oh yeah, she's the one with the Pikachu pen, or like?
Yes. Actually, yes, I get a lot of compliments on stuff that, because sometimes I have letter sets at work, because I have to like give someone back some confidential file or something, and so I'll put it in my cute little envelopes and they'll be like, well, I knew where this came from.
And I bet some of them even look forward to getting stuff from you, because it's just like that little touch of cuteness or kawaii, or like just like happiness throughout the day, where everything else is like regular post-its.
Yes.
And you're like, here's this like seal looking memo note or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, I see you guys with your neon pink post-its. Like, those are fine. Those are good. But let me show you this cat post-it.
Or the like Mitsutama.
Yes, yes. Like, there's just so many more of that. And it's fun introducing people to those. So, It's been good using that for work.
I want to first hear about your 2021. Oh, well, actually, even like 2020, if you want to talk about that first. But like, what's your current journaling lineup as a person who works as an editor? And like, what do you use for work and for your like personal life too?
So work and personal, I do my best to keep separate because it's weird having your hobbies mixed so much with your professional life, because video games are my passion. Like, I love them, but they're also my work. And so I love stationery, but also I need it for work. So it's like, how do you split the fun with, you know, your work life? And that was actually something I didn't even consider for a long time. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I only used like good stationery for work for so long. And then I said, what? Why don't I use this for fun too? What about me? So for this past year, I discovered traveler's notebooks. And so before, I used to have separate planners. So my favorite thing, I would actually go to Japan every year for work, which was part of like my demands at my job.
Free job. Just kidding.
I work so hard. I like build like this huge deck of a pitch. I'm like, here's why you need to send me to Japan to cover Tokyo Game Show. Because we always send somebody. And then we started sending fewer and fewer people. And when I joined, I was like, this is what I want. This is the only event I want to go to. Mm-hmm. Only one. And we have to send people to cover them. So I made a big pitch for it. And they're like, yeah, we'll send you. Like, I have a minor in Japanese. I was like, already, that's already a leg up than everybody else. So you kind of have to send me, right?
Awesome.
Yeah, right? And so they didn't disagree, thankfully. And so I get to go every year. And I try to stay as much as I can. But one of the things that I always looked forward to getting when I was just looking for work was these Sumiko Garashi planners. So these are full planners. They have, actually, they're some of my favorites, and they kind of got me onto those weekly setups. So they have a page on one side, and then they have just like the weekly days on the other.
The horizontal weeklies, right?
Yes. And it's all decorated with Sumiko Garashi, which is one of the San X brands, if you guys don't know what those are. So they're
the quirky version of Sanrio, is what my definition is. Because Sanrio is like the Hello Kitty, the Melody, the cute ones. But the San X goes a little bit extreme with like extra quirky characters.
Yeah, I could tell you so much about these characters, but we don't need to do that. So, story for another day. So I got these for like 2 years in a row. And then the following year, I couldn't find them. And when I was in Japan, I was really confused at the store because I knew what I was looking for and I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And then I saw like Hobonichi and other things, but at the time I didn't know why it was so expensive. Mm-hmm. Like I just saw that. I was like, why is this so much more than these other things that I was buying? Because I didn't know about Tomoe River paper and all that stuff at the time. And like, I was like, why is this cover so expensive? I don't understand.
Yeah.
So I ended up changing my planner system then, but at that time I do regret because I would only get like a few more like Midori notebooks when I get like maybe one or two like Pikachu washi tape whenever I went to the Pokemon Center, because Pikachu is one of my favorite characters of all time. So I would pick up stuff then, and now I feel like this huge wave of regret for not taking more advantage of my time going to Japan the past few years.
I know, and this year especially, like I feel like this year is your stationery gone crazy blossom year, at least from my observation. Like from your streams, and because Miranda streams stationery, not just like, you know, the writing and journaling, but also like shares what she buys. And then wouldn't this be the year where you would really, really want to go to Japan? Like for me, yes, it is.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes, absolutely. There's so much good stationery in Japan right now too. But I think thankfully for the shops like Cute Things from Japan and even Yosaka do a really good job of stocking new things. And now I really want to go to Taiwan. Like I really want to go now. But kind of getting back to
the lineup
and like what I do for work. So I had all of those that I would get from Japan, and then I've tried other systems as well. And then this year I found I kind of got for 2020 last year at the end of year, I got just some other smaller notebook. I don't remember what brand it was. It was cute. And then again, I found out about traveler's notebooks. This was kind of when, and we'll get into the story in a bit about how I did the deep dive in just the stationery world. And I said, why am I only using this for work? What happened to me? But then I found the traveler's notebook, and this system has just been perfect for how I work. So because it is essentially however many notebooks you want in one book, that's the way for me to keep essentially all my work things in one place without having to juggle a bunch. And I do work from home sometimes, obviously now all the time,
but
you know, later eventually I will be going back to my office and I'll have to commute back and forth. And I always have to keep my planner with me. And then I also have a meeting notebook that I have, but then I also have a separate like kind of grid notebook for all the guides. So my particular division that I run at IGN is our guides team. So we write the video game guides. We get nitty gritty. We find every secret, every collectible. We tell you how to beat all the bosses. And it's really fun, but it's really hard. And it's especially hard if you don't have a good sort of management system to manage all the projects. So not only do I help write guides sometimes, but also I have to manage all the projects we have going on. And so in order to keep up with that, what I do is, of course, I have plenty of like Google spreadsheets and such, but I also have a notebook that's a grid notebook just for that. So I do it month by month. This could be almost equated to a bullet journal, though I don't do that because it's too intense for me. I can't do it. I need someone to set this up for me.
Exactly. Like I want it templated and I'll just use it.
And I'll make it pretty. Don't worry. I'll make it pretty, but I just need the good paper and the good template. And so this is as close as I get to it. And essentially it's just, you know, notes while I'm playing games for my guides and all of that. So that has to have its own notebook so it doesn't get confused with my meeting notebook or other things. And I find that really having these specific places for everything helps me keep track of all the stuff I have to do because it is a lot of work. And I think that's honestly why I get to be in charge is because I know how to make sure we're managing things properly and getting things done on time. And these systems really do go so far for that. And so this was just like just the holy grail, honestly, of efficiency for me. And so I'm so glad I have my traveler's notebook. So that is my primary thing for work.
And it also kind of, I think, straddled the line of like professional looking versus like practical. And so like, you know, I wouldn't feel ashamed carrying a Rilakkuma planner to work, but then this just also makes me feel a little bit more elevated, like in style.
I like to balance like the, I'm a business professional and, you know, I have executive in my title, but also I have a Pikachu mountain on my desk, like just a bunch of stuffed animals, and you're going to have to deal with both of them. So
love it.
Yeah. It's like, I think that's a thing too, that I really love about like kind of Japanese stationery and Japanese culture is like, you can have those really professional effective systems. They're also cute as heck. So
Exactly. Nice. And so what are your personal planners and journals?
So, right now I don't do too much for personal planning. I'm trying to figure that out, honestly, because it's kind of just gotten jumbled in my work planner and I don't like that. Right now it's easy because, well, there's not really a lot going on.
I know. Yeah, so, that's true.
So that's been easy. But for me, my personal journal is the big thing. So one of the things that I was kind of talking about earlier, I was like, why don't I do this for myself more? So I had some issues with anxiety, or I guess some, it's a lot for a kind of most of my adult life. And I finally started working on what that was this year. And as far as like getting medication and talking to doctors and really just taking care of myself the best that I can. And one of my doctors said, hey, have you thought about doing like a worry journal? And I was like, you just said journal? Hello?
Stationery?
Yeah. So she's like, you know, when you feel really anxious, like obviously medication's not going to fix everything. You need to, you take care of yourself too. And so she's like, just find a time every day, just book out 20 minutes and go sit down and journal about everything that's worrying you. Just get it out and then be done with it. And then close the book and it's there and you have let it out. And so I started doing that. And then I was like, but I want to journal about these other things that aren't worries.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so from there, I was like, well, I have these half finished like Midori notebooks that I use for work. But I had like notes from like an Animal Crossing preview event that I went to. And I was like, okay, well, Animal Crossing, you can live at the front. They're just like these awful scratch notes. And so I kind of am sad that my first like foray back into journaling has like this awful introduction of just like crazy notes about look at the ghost and snowflakes are back. You know, it's very silly. But then when you get to a certain point, it's all of my thoughts. And honestly, it's just one of the A6 size Midori notebooks. And I thought that was gonna last me forever. It lasted me like not even a month.
Not even a month. And now you get to buy new ones to add to the collection.
Yeah. So for this year, for my personal use, I found it really interesting to try a lot of different systems. And that's not something I had really considered before until I got my traveler's notebook. And I was like, wow, what if I have my own traveler's notebook for my personal stuff? And I tried that. I had a Tomoe River insert done by an artist. So it was her own insert she had made, and the cover is gorgeous. Hold on, I can actually grab it. It's right here.
Yes, please.
So this is by Maruti Bitamin or Kaomori. I think she goes by a few things. So it's an Animal Crossing one. It has all these beautiful sunfish and Marshall on the front.
Oh, wow.
And it's just fantastic. And it doesn't, the shame is it doesn't have that many pages. So I filled it up very quickly, but it's gorgeous. And so when I tried this size going from an A6 to, you know, the traveler size, I was like, what if I try an A5? And so it's really weird about trying to find, like, does this shoe fit properly? Is this my style for journaling? I don't know. And that's sort of the wonderful thing about journaling is you can keep trying things until you find just like what matches you. And so for my journaling.
And then also the kind where like this shoe hurts, but I'm going to keep trying the next pair.
Yeah, that looks absolutely. Like it. It's like, you know what, this is similar enough, but it's still different. So we're going to try and walk in these heels anyway.
Anyway.
I don't care if it hurts. It still looks good. So we're going to do it.
Exactly. That's me. This year.
But so for notebooks, I think there's a lot of things to consider, which I don't know how much everyone thinks about this, but it's not only the kind of notebook, it's the size of notebook, it's mm-hmm. the page type, it's the number of pages. Mm. It's like, is it a hardcover? Is it a soft cover? Is it a paper cover? Is it like, there's so many things to consider. And that's sort of what I've been trying with right now, as far as finding the journaling system that works for me. And I've honestly just had such a delightful time figuring that out. I think what it works. So this is, sorry, it's long road to the 2020 plan that I've been using this year. is this, so this is my personal journal, which yes, I love this so much. And so it has a cover on it. So this is actually one of the Blink Hobonichi notebooks, because I'm a big fountain pen user. I love, love, love my fountain pens. And whenever I'm personal journaling, I don't use anything else. It has to be fountain pens.
Yes.
And so I wanted something with Tomoe River paper, because, you know, that's the best paper, at least that's easier to access. I think there's some newer papers in the market that people really like for fountain pens. But as far as I found in like what's easier to find is Tomoe River paper, even though there's the whole kerfuffle about them changing the paper.
And, yeah.
You know, that's been said and done.
It still works though. And it's perfect for a collector of not just a fountain pen, but also ink colors, which you also have a journey on to this year. But yeah.
There's just so many inks, and I would show you, there are only a few pages I'm really willing to show in here, because this is very personal, and although I do stream, and then, like, I have kind of a following from what I do for work, like, I'm on our Xbox podcast, I help host E3 events, which is, like, the big gaming event of the year every year, so I have a bit of a following, but I do really strive to have, like, a line of privacy there, and that's still important, and that's what I think journals can really be. It's, like, a connection with yourself, like, your journal is between you and no one else. And I think that's really a special bond. And you can share it if you want, but you really don't have to. So you can put all those embarrassing thoughts in there, and you can make it look cute, or you can cover it up. One technique that I have learned is, especially when I'm journaling about hard things, is covering it up with a top layer of a sheet that's really pretty. And it's like, brace yourself, you're about to read something that is not fun.
Not pretty.
But I think it's still important for at least the kind of journaling that I do. I'm definitely a writer, so I write so much, which is how I'm filling up these journals so fast, because I'm just like, well, let me just write 2 pages about the breakfast I had today and how that all came about.
And put washi tape that has all that pattern next to it.
Yes. And so like mine is, I think I've used about almost three-fourths of the book, and it's chunky. I use so many stickers on washi. I definitely collage in here. And I learned recently from you actually that you can paint in your Hobonichi. So I'm definitely going to start doing that more too.
Yeah, it's a rabbit hole from there. Yes. one stationery leads to another. And I just want to say what you just said really touched me a little bit, because like for a lot of us stationery enthusiasts, we kind of get lost in that we have to share our page, so we can't write anything too personal, and then we have to make it pretty. And then it just kind of discourages people sometimes, where they're like, okay, I can't journal the way I want anymore because it has to look a certain way for my Instagram feed. And I kind of had to like, you know, re-examine myself this year, because I was very much the share my spread girl up till 2019. And then I also went through like a year of kind of like this anxiety driven like feel of like life pressure, and then I just cannot share any of them because it's just too ugly and naked.
It's like, this is not something I want people to know about, or that they don't need to know. And exactly. Like maybe that page is gorgeous, but that's just for you now.
Exactly. So I kind of came to term with like, yeah, I don't have to share this, but it's important for me to write it down, because if I don't document that moment, like it's lost, and like I could take the risk of, you know, not having my followers see that particular spread, even though it's dramatic and scary, but I've really decorated well, but I'm not going to share it. It's just for me.
Sometimes I'll actually like scribble out the pages and show like my sister. I'm like, you can't read this, but please look at this page and admire it. Thank you.
I love that.
So it's just like, there's a middle ground. And I actually think that whole, like, do I share this or not? I have some 2021 solutions for that.
Ooh. We'll hear about it later in your stream. Maybe that's a good way for people to go check it out later.
Yeah, I'd love to talk about it now, because the streams are only archived for so long. Oh, and that's actually something I like. Like, some people are like, could you save these on YouTube? I'm like, no, I want them to go away. I feel bad, but I'm like, no, it's like, they archive for about a month or so. And then the way Twitch works is, because it's not, for anyone who's not really familiar with it, it's primarily a streaming platform. So primarily about being live. And then once you're done, depending on like what level you are, so you can just be like a regular user, you can be affiliate, which means you can get paid for it, or you can be a partner, which is also that, but you get like additional privileges as far as like how long your videos are stored. And so for that, I think mine stores, so I'm a partner, and it stores for about, I think, a month or more, maybe more than that. So they store for a while, and it's like, you guys had your chance. Next year, these will not exist. And that's fine. That's fine. Like, it was a thing in the moment. And I think that is one thing that I love about journaling, is like, it lets you live in the moment, recount that moment, and lets you move on from it and revisit it when you're ready. And I think that's just something I really love. And I think that's a reason I like streaming. So do you mind if we get into the streaming thing?
Yes, I do want to like start talking about how
here.
the streaming journey began. Like, obviously you streamed before even stationary, but like, why don't you tell us a little bit about your alias on Twitch, and then, you know, what is it like? Like, what's that like flip of a switch where you're like, actually today let's not do Dota, let's talk stationary, and like surprise the hell out of all my hobbies, like, what is she doing?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, because I work for IGN, I'm mostly known for video game things and like some anime things as well. I do a lot of anime work with like Crunchyroll and just like on IGN as well. And so when pandemic started, I wanted to start streaming, because I had all the streaming gear. I had planned on doing it like a year ago, and I was just like, nah, I gotta go out with my friends tonight, or I gotta go do this, or I'm too tired, I don't want to be on camera more. And so when pandemic started, I was like, man, I'm just like sitting here, what am I doing
all day?
Yeah, it's like, I really wanted to take that time to revisit old games. And essentially, I'm a little bit younger than some of my colleagues, and so there were some games that are still pretty important that I just don't have context for, because I didn't play them when they came out, because I either didn't have access or was too young, whatever it may be. And so I was like, Twitch, let's stream those old games. It'll be fun. I'm going to do whatever I want. And so I kind of set up like a 3-day schedule for Twitch. And eventually I was just like, my Sunday stream, I don't really know what to do with it. We're going to do Dota. I'm going to get into the Dota scene in a different way. Like, I love Dota. I've been playing since 2013. I have thousands of hours in it. I've gone to the big events. I've traveled for it.
Yes.
I'm gonna stream Dota, and it was the worst.
Because Dota, for those who don't know, like, has one of the, like, I'm not like a player, but by, you know, living with Elliot for the past 3 years, that has exposed me a little bit to the art of Dota, and like toxicity I can't say that word, is part of it, like the environment, the talking back and forth, that's not necessarily polite.
Yeah, so for Dota especially, so there's like a ranked mode where you can say like, I'm this much better than everyone else, and this game has placed me here, and like, you can work on that and get better. And so that was the thing, I was on a stream, but as part of it, Dota is a game that you have to really focus on. So unlike the other games, they're single player where I can really engage with the people who are watching. And that's such a big aspect of Twitch, is engaging with people who are watching. You don't have to, and some streamers don't, but that's just what I like to do, because I'm very much a community person, and I really want to be grateful for anyone who's coming through and giving me any of their time, and just, you know, make them feel welcome and have a good time. And with Dota, you can't really do that. It's no, like, hey, I'll check the chat when I die next, and when I die, I'm probably going to be angry because someone was yelling at me, and then someone called me out for being a girl, and then I shut them down, and everyone's like, yeah, Miranda, you, yeah, and I'm like, ugh. But then I had to shut someone down on my stream, and it just feels bad. So I was like, okay, I need to figure something else out. And while I was trying to figure that out, I got my first fountain pen in. So when pandemic also happened, that was when I got into fountain pens. I've always wanted to get into them. I love my Zebra Sarasas. They have been my one pen for so long. Like, I've used them for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but these fountain pens I keep seeing at the stationery store are so beautiful, but so pricey. And I don't know the difference between them. Like, how do you use them? Why do they have their own ink? And so I finally went down the rabbit hole of doing a ton of research. Like, I did so much research on, like, the differences and the sizes. And what do I want to start with? Lamy? Do I want to start with Kawako? Like, what is the good spot for me? Mm-hmm. And so I finally decided on a Kawako Sport. I got the Fox one. I was so excited. So this beautiful little orange pocket pen, and I got some other stuff with it too, of course, because I wasn't just gonna buy one thing.
Of course.
Who does that? It should be me, but I don't do that.
Nope, no, not us.
And so I was just like, hey, is chat, before we start this game, can I show you guys something I got in the mail today that I'm really excited about? And so I went through my entire haul and talked about fountain pens and stuff, and it ended up being like an hour, and so many people were really excited about it. And they're just like, wow, I never thought I'd be excited about pens. And it was like, they're like, Miranda, do you have any suggestions for other pens that aren't fountain pens that you like? And then I started talking about Zebra Sarasas and my notebooks. And I was just like, would you guys be interested in me just streaming stationery stuff? And they're like, yeah. And this is like 100 people saying, yeah, we're down for that. And these are not the stationary community people. These are people in like the gaming scene. Like, they're not coming here for notebooks, but then they decided that notebooks are cool.
Exactly.
And I was so happy about it, because I really love talking about my stationary so much. And that's honestly something I've really loved about this community, is everyone's so fun and excited about things and excited for each other. And that's something that's not necessarily always happening in the gaming community. My own personal community, sure, but like at large, it's a very different landscape. And just coming here and feeling like such warmth and enthusiasm for everything is so nice. And everyone wants to teach you something new or show off something. We all congratulate each other, and I just love it. And so being able to bring that kind of to Twitch is really cool. I would say that as far as like other streamers, so I stream in like the makers and crafting section of Twitch. So if you guys don't know, aside from games, they also have like art channels and music and cosplay. And the makers and crafters is usually a lot of like cross stitching and like people doing cool keyboard stuff.
Oh, and very intense, like wielding or like very intense, like technical, mechanical things on screen. But like, seeing yours was such a breath of fresh air, because it's something I'm familiar with and something I know, aside from other like very intensive craft items. And it's kind of cool, because that actually lives on YouTube way more, like all the journal with me, all the plan with me, but then you kind of doing it on the Twitch environment. And it's also very cool that you kind of basically at that moment realized you're an enthusiast, and you converted a bunch of people who don't know stationery.
So many people have messaged me about the notebooks, about like, Miranda, look, I got this new notebook. I was like, I'm so happy.
And let me tell you, enabling is the best feeling, and which is probably why I'm still doing this podcast.
I love it. I mean, you do enable me quite a bit. So. But I mean, the thing is, like, when I do it, it's not, and I know there's a big conversation about that too, about like enabling and shopping, and like, is this too much? Are we just encouraging needless spending? Like, I don't think so, because I think a lot of the approach that we come from, it's like, let me show you something I really love because I love it. Like, I'm championing this because I care about it. Mm-hmm. You might care about it too. And I think a lot of the people that I've talked to, at least, it's more so like starting. It's like reminding them you don't have to have the washi tape. You don't have to have the stickers. You could just have a blue or a black pen, or a blue back pen. You don't have to, you can have a combo. Whatever fits. fits your needs and just go at it. And I think a big thing that I hope helps other people too is I do talk a lot about mental health and journaling, mm-hmm. and how it's helped me, at least personally. I'm obviously not a mental health professional or any sort of health professional. I'm just a writer, but at least I do know how much it has really helped me figure out, you know, things for work or things for my anxiety. And I want to be able to share that with other people and remind people that it's really cool to look on your thoughts from a few years ago or even a few months ago.
And the whole process is just very fun. Like, it's typically an hour to 2 hour long, and like, which is great. It's actually something I look for every Sunday morning now, like from usually 11 or 11:30, and then like it runs through lunch. And then I like actually journal along with you, even though you know you're doing your thing and I'm also doing my thing, but then I also occasionally look up and engage with the chat. And by the way, the chat is so much fun on Twitch. Like, I finally understand why people say it is a community, because you can have conversations in the chat that is completely different from what the streamer is doing. Like, you would be showing off your pen and we would be talking about puppies between Toasty Treat and I, and then Connor, like a few of other people on there. Can I shout them out? Gaiden, Daph Maple, like all the very, the usuals. And like, you know, there's people that are like not that familiar with stationery, and then people were really good with stationery in there. And then there's a lot of swapping of like information, and then you chime in now and then. And then it's a very fun community that felt more interactive than just a YouTube where you would like, you know, watch it in a dark room or like at night, late at night, and like it's very one way rather than, you know, in the early morning, lunchtime, very
and that's exactly why I chose Twitch, because I was like, okay, I would love to share stationery more aside from this accidental finding that the people that like watching me play games also like watching me talk about stationery. I thought, oh, should I do YouTube instead? Like, maybe that's better, maybe I can do recordings. And then I thought, I was like, oh, that's too much work. It's a lot of work. It really is. Like, I know how much work goes into producing videos. And like, cause I also have to do that for work. And it's like, well, as soon as I do that, it edges on being work. And that's when it stops being fun. And I think that's such a big thing for me to be careful of. Even with streaming, it's like, okay, as soon as it starts feeling like work, it's too much. Scale it back.
Yeah.
And then, but with stationery, it's always just fun. Like, it's my favorite thing to do every week, to talk to everybody. It's like, I want to show you guys these things I got, or I want to talk about these new stamps, or I want to talk about this paper that I like, or let's play with ink and dip pens today. And so I think just having that interaction and just being a community is such a unique experience.
Mm-hmm. The station community is really, really fun. Like, that's also how I kind of have been able to extend my passion since like 2014. And it's really started from the Facebook community, where people talk on there every single day. And obviously today with algorithm, you don't get that as much anymore.
Yeah.
But because of you, I was so inspired to kind of follow the live process. And I've done a few on IG Live, but it's just weird because, you know, first of all, the view is like portrait form, and
it's
then it's
kind
hard
of funky.
It's hard to capture, and the like the what is that? Like, the pixel is not as like crisp and clear. And then I tried Facebook Live a little bit, because I like, Twitch is brand new to me and I don't want to like accidentally mess it up, or like there's too many strange buttons here. So I started where I was comfortable, and I finally now move on to YouTube Live. I think I do want to do Twitch someday, because you can obviously save it, download it, and then upload it to YouTube. But
So very quickly, for any of you who don't know the differences between these. So Instagram Live, I think if you were wanting to do a stream, and I think it's great, like Instagram TV can be great. It's super easy to start. You just point your phone and you go.
Hit that button.
I think it is by far the simplest. And I think Facebook has similar integration. I mean, they're the same companies.
Yeah.
Who knows how long that'll last. But so there's that. But with Instagram, unless you're using like two phones and two accounts, you can only have one camera. So you can't also be on camera unless you get some like tricky shots going.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
And, so I think that's something I've kind of considered doing every now and then. And also I don't think there's any monetization on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird thing to bring up, but that's, I think, a thing that some content creators also want to think about. It's like, is monetization something a part of this, because some people want to do this for a living, and I totally respect that. So that's like a good like first step. or just to, I want to show you something real quick. I might do some Instagram lives of like my writing desk, because I actually, during the pandemic, also have purchased a writing desk. So I have a separate space for all of my journaling and all of my journaling things. I can't, this PC desk is great, but it's too much PC stuff. So. So there's that. And then, of course, you mentioned Facebook, which is the kind of an extension they can do in the groups and everything. And then YouTube, which I like, but it is a little tricky because it is still just, I think, a video first platform. So it's a VOD, so like video on demand. So something that's already been archived. Mm-hmm. And you can get there. But the thing that it's lacking compared to Twitch is something like emotes or subscribing, yes, or something that you get to customize to really reward your community for being there. So like what I do is I make emotes that are custom to my channel. So if people subscribe, then they're rewarded with faces of my cat. They can use anywhere on Twitch.
Which is, Morty and Ari.
Yeah,
emojis. And then like when you, sometimes I just want to like react to your stuff and like I don't really have any words to like, that's like too boring. And then I just spam.
Yeah, exactly. And that's
the Ari Twitch emotes.
It's like, I have a cat named Ari. She's very fluffy. And it's an emote of her, like in a little blanket, like really cozy. So it's the cozy mood. And so that's a thing I also really love about Twitch and how it integrates that differently. But as April, as you were saying, Twitch isn't as, I guess, straightforward for streaming. I think they are developing some tools to make that easier, but specifically for stationary streaming, since we're using like two cameras, it's already complicated.
Yes.
There's a lot to it. And I think the reason I can do it is one, because for my job, we stream games and I'm used to being on camera and like reading a chat, but also playing a game and like paying attention to both and juggling and making sure that I'm playing this game right, so I'm not embarrassed, but also I have to respond to people. Mm-hmm. So that multitasking is something I was already a little comfortable with.
Yeah.
And so that made it easier for me to do something like this. And already having this set up, it just ended up being more about like plugging things in and getting to it. So.
And then sometimes unexpected incidents, right? Like you have like this, this placeholder image that's called like cat trouble or cat accident.
Cat disaster.
And it's funny because in the chat section, we would like spam the Ari emotes and then it's like summoning Ari to come into the screen. And then there's like cat disaster. So like, tell us about like your recent funny thing that happened. Stationery were involved, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes. So since Twitch is live, if there was an accident, if you mess up, that is there. You do not get to take that back. And if you have cats who are rambunctious, they will be there. So my cat Ari, she's very fluffy and pretty, but she loves attention on her terms. And so sometimes, I'm actually worried she's come up there while recording. I think it's her nap time though. I strategically picked the right time. So sometimes when I'm talking a lot, she'll get, I don't know, not like angry at me, but she'll want my attention. And so she'll just like run up on my desk. And when I have ink open and water and my dip pen going, it's like a nightmare. And one time she has knocked over some things and, or like she'll throw up because she gets hairballs. And so I have this one button. It's the cat disaster button and it has music. It's just all quirky. And it's like, you know what? You just got to be prepared for things that'll go wrong. And then you just have a good laugh about it. And then afterwards you go cry about it, but it's fine.
But we love it. Like the audience loves it, to be honest. And like right now I'm like observing the tree behind you. And because I saw Morty up there on the cat tree behind the actual tree. But like, wasn't that there one time where Aria actually climbed the tree?
So it was... Yes. Oh my gosh, I climbed it while the stream was going. So my cats are, we're getting the cat chat here.
No, of course, we love cats here, so it's totally fine.
Yeah, I love my cat so much. They don't mess with the tree that much unless they want attention. And by they, I mean it's just Ari. So
just
my cat, Morty, her name is Mortward the Phantom Assassin after a Dota character. And Ari's named after Ari, the League of Legends character. Anyway, so Morty's a sweet, pure angel. She never bothers sometimes. Like I have one of the cool things on Twitch is that you get points for watching. Mm-hmm. And so those points accumulate and you can spend them on like highlighting your messages or asking the streamer to remember to hydrate, like get some water. There's one that I have very expensive and it is to go get Morty. So I'll just like bring her up to the camera. No one's allowed it yet because it's very expensive because I don't want to disturb her because she's good and she's probably just sleeping or she's just walking around minding her own business. But Ari, Ari does not need that because she, people try, as April just said, they try to summon her. They're like, gotta summon Ari, come Dark Lord. And so she usually just like jumps on the screen and just like runs around. And like,
the camera that points face down has like this fluffy, just, flurry, like just Passover.
Fluff. Just fluff everywhere. So some stuff kind of goes wrong when it comes to streaming with journaling. And like, I'm trying to make like a nice card for Christmas. Like I have this dip pen and I'm trying my best here. And then you, like, even than that, like, I messed something up. Like, I made this perfect C for Christmas, and I'm so proud of it. And then I messed something up so bad later. I was like, you know what? It's all right. That's fine. Don't worry. I'm going to redo it later. And so sometimes, or, like, sometimes I'll make a misspelling, and I didn't even notice it. And I'm just like, oh, no. It's the easiest thing that I misspelled, but I did it anyway. But also, to that extent, the benefit is that the chat can say, help me, like, decide on a sticker. It's like, guys, should I do this one or this one? And then that's like a nice thing that we can collaborate on together. So much so that I actually have a journal just for Twitch to kind of like every week we set it up together. It's again, kind of like a bullet journal. And I always write a note to the Twitch chat. I'm like, this is your note for the month. And it's like, take care of yourself or wash your hands or thank you guys so much for being here. I hope you're having a
stream journal.
Yeah. So it's fun. And like, I log all the games. I journal about games a lot. Unsurprisingly, just like writing my thoughts about them and kind of keeping up with it. So I think the whole Twitch experience, honestly, if you want to get into Twitch, please do. And please let us know, because I would love to watch your streams. I will be there. You just tell me.
Can you recommend like a few that you watch right now that you follow, like that is like stationery related?
Yeah. So unfortunately, there's not a ton. The one that I do really like, and she's kind of taking a little hiatus, but I think she's coming back, is Spotted Journal. So her name's Jenny, and she does sometimes like, she used to do like daily art streams, and lately she was just doing Christmas cards, and so I'm hoping she gets back into streaming more, because hers are really fun as well, and her designs are so good. She's actually really good at drawing. I'm terrible at it, so my designs are a little, you know, I'm working on them. I might pay someone to do it, because I try, but it's very
funny. You get into it and then you start doing it daily, and then like maybe in like a few months you've started to really find progress. That's actually how everyone else that I know of that does this started, so don't worry about that.
I think that's where I'm gonna be at. She did recommend, she's also really wonderful at paying attention to the chat, and she talks to them about things. She also encouraged me. She's like, what if you just draw a drawing daily? Like, just do it daily. And that's what she did for a long time, and showing these cool sketches. So I'd recommend her as well.
Nice. I watched The Penatic, obviously, because I listened to his podcast, and Brad Dowdy, he like does his own pen demonstration. He does a lot of fountain pens. And then there's this other girl, which I was confused when you talked about Jenny. It's Jenny Journals on YouTube. Yes. Oh my God, her YouTube videos are amazing.
I love her YouTube, yes.
So I came over to Twitch, but she streams Animal Crossing.
She streams Animal Crossing, yes. I was like, oh, are you gonna do journaling? It's like, aw.
I know, but it's actually also very cute, because her Animal Crossing, like she decorates her whole room like from the beginning to the end, and it's actually very addicting too.
I will say the Animal Crossing streams are great. I follow a few Animal Crossing streamers because I am also addicted to that, and I'm quite jealous of your Animal Crossing journal, and I'm mad I did not do the save, and I'm kind of considering over the holiday break, it's like, do I just do a catch-up for the year?
The winter wonderland scene is perfect for like decorating your spread. Like I actually migrate a lot of that into my Hobonichi right now, and it's just stickers. I printed them on sticker paper, so I stick this here, stick that there, and like kind of recreated the Animal Crossing like environment across two pages. So that was really fun.
That's the best.
I wanna get into a little bit about your journey of discovering fountain pen, and then where you are today, which is not a few months.
It's like 6 months. I have a lot. I feel bad sometimes, but I use them. And that's why I think it's like, well, I think there's nothing wrong with collecting if it's something you're passionate about.
Exactly.
But
I was going to say that too. Like, don't feel guilty about having many, because like if you know a lot of the fountain pen enthusiasts, like what you have is not a lot. Like,
No.
If you got into this rabbit hole, you will not blame us when you start collecting or start looking
at all the somehow I got away with not buying any Lamy pens. When I was starting, I ended up really like the Calicos, because I have smaller hands and I just like that they're smaller pocket pens.
Yeah.
And they're so cute and I love them and they write well, so long as you get one with a good nib. I did have a friend who got one and it was misaligned. think it wasn't cut properly. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of my entry. I found that after watching a lot of YouTube, actually, because I was, step back. I was on JetPens. I was like, I need stationery for home, because that's actually how this all kicked off. Was I was running out of pens for work. Mm-hmm. I was like, I can't go to the office to pick up my pens and all the stationery I have at the office, and I miss my stickers. I really miss my Rilakkuma stickers that I got when I was in Japan. And so since I didn't have anything, I was like, oh, well, I guess I'm just going to have to order everything again. Mm-hmm. Whoops. And that's when I found JetPens and just lost my mind. Like, I seriously just went on this crazy Twitter rant talking about JetPens, and people were like, how did you not know about this before? I'm like, why didn't you tell me about this before?
they have been around for a while now.
Yeah. And so I made a big order from them, and then they have these fantastic guides. Like, I love their guides. Like, they're so thorough. As a guide, I'm just like, just bravo, beautiful. Look at that formatting. You'd love to see it. And so I was kind of perusing their guides. I read their Swarovski guide just because those are my favorites. And I was like, oh, I'm so happy to read it. And then I saw their fountain pen guides. And I was like, is it time? Do I do this? And so it was like a week and a half or 2 weeks before I bought a fountain pen. Like, I just watched so many videos on YouTube, so many guides to read online, and just like the benefits, how to like clean pens, how much time it takes, mm-hmm. and all of that.
Yeah.
And then I invested my first Calicos, and of course we got the Twitch story that kind of integrated in there. And then I got a second Calico because I wanted to have a friend.
Of course.
and there's these tins you can get for the Calico sports, and they're beautiful. Unfortunately, did not bring it over here. Yes, it's so pretty. And so I was like, here, you two little sweet babies, go to sleep.
Put them to bed every night.
Yeah. When I first got the Calico, I was just like, okay, it uses cartridges. Let me try that out. So I got these diamine like mixed colors. It has like oxblood and some others. I was like, okay, this is cool. But I don't like half of these. I want my own ink. And so then I learned about converters. Mm. And then I got converters. And then I bought ink. And I was like, but what if I get another pen?
So, just one more.
And so then I got my Twisby Eco in the Rooms Gold and White. And I was like, this is the best pen ever. And I love it. And I was like, but what if I get a gold nib pen? And so it really just spiraled from there. And then I also got my collection's really small, and I can actually kind of go over it pretty quickly.
No, yeah, please do. I want you to talk about your sailor pens again.
Yes, okay. I apologize, because I feel like it's gonna be long.
But it's gonna be a long one. We're just gonna have to accept that.
I also like the long episodes, so I hope everyone.
You do. You're used to the longer videos.
So I ended up getting the Traveler's Company fountain pen, and I unfortunately don't like it. Mm-hmm. It was one of my first dream pens, because I saw it and I was like, this is perfect. It's beautiful. It's small.
And it's small,
yeah. It's fast. It's heavier. Like, I love how that is a heavier pen, but I think I need to take it to a nib grinder to take a look at the nib and maybe help it work a little bit better, because it gives me some trouble. We're friends. One day we'll go camping together and we'll be good.
Too bad San Francisco Pen Show was canceled this year, because that would have been the perfect venue for you to fix all your fountain pen problems, yes. Whether it's like nibs you don't like, and then also talk to people who are very expert at, like, you know, fixing them to your personal liking. But like, that's maybe next year. Next year we'll meet at San Francisco Pen Show.
Absolutely. Yeah, next year. Gosh, I hope it happens. I was so bummed this year. I was like, I remember counting the days. I was like, man, I could have been at the San Francisco Pen Show right now. Anyway, and so from there, I said, okay, I want gold nib pens. And from there, I never looked back, which is expensive. And I don't have the order. Unfortunately, I'm missing two of them that are over at my other desk. But I'll show you the few that I have here, which are actually my favorite pens. Mm-hmm. So I actually got, I know you guys were talking about this this past week on the happy hour, was the Platinum 377 Century Nice Lavende.
Yes.
So I got that pen because it was rose gold and purple, and purple is like one of my favorite colors, purple and red. And I saw it on Yesica, and I was like, I'm going to treat myself because of a belated birthday or whatever. And so I bought it. And then I held it with, like, you know, my Twisby. I was like, look at this pair. They're beautiful. But what if you had a third sister? And so then I was like, okay, I want to make sure the ones that I'm buying are things that I truly deeply love and cannot stop thinking about. And the next one was this. I think you guys also talked about this one. The Pelican M600 and the Violet Special Edition. And I found this on, I forget which site I found this on, but it was on sale. And I was like, but it's on sale. And they're out of stock everywhere.
That's a really pretty one.
I love it. This is like just top three. I cannot say my favorite. This is one of my favorites of all time. I will warn you, the Pelican nibs are weird. They're so smooth.
I was about to ask which nib is it, right? Like
this is a fine, but it writes like a medium. If not almost bigger than it, like a larger medium,
a broad even.
Yeah, very close, honestly. It's kind of crazy. But I love it. Like I love, it's so elegant and just beautiful. And when I opened it, I cried. No. I cried. And then from there, why stop?
I'm already there, right?
Yeah. So then one night I found Pen Saatchi, and then I saw this other special edition pen, which is a Sailor Pro Gear. And I really love the Sailors. Like those were the other dream pens I've had. Like as soon as I saw like that little anchor logo on it,
yes.
I just lost it. I was just like, this is just perfect. It's so elegant. It just looks like professional, but still cute.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got this one from Pen Saatchi. So I call this like my milk and honey pen because it's not like a pure white pen, but it's like off white. Sorry guys, for the video watchers there, you can see that. And it's just really beautiful. Like the gold is different from the other gold you'll get on the Sailor pens, because I think this is like a Wancher exclusive. It's a company in Japan that works with Sailor to do limited editions as well. And so I saw this one and they were selling out and I was like, well, yes. Oh. It was my first 21 karat. It's a medium fine.
Yeah. That's a pretty one.
I love it so much. I write with at least 3 or 4 pens every week, like at least really consistently. And then I also got, so we're going to do a little in between. I got a Kaguya from the Fairy Tale line from Sailor. So that was my first Sailor Pro Gear Slim. And I think I like the Pro Gears more, which I like the Slims too, but I like the Pro Gears just a little bit more.
Okay.
And so that one's really beautiful. It's sparkly and red and it's lovely. But then comes my holy grail pen.
The recent one.
This is the newest one. And there's only one other out there that I really want at this time. And that's not even released yet. I want the Shishiki Ori one. I want the purple one.
Me too. That's the one.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. But this one, which I'm going to talk about, is the Twinkle Stardust pen, which is only 100 made. This was a Tokyo Pen Show exclusive by Bungo Box,
yes.
But they recently launched an international site. And they're like, hey, if you sign up for email, like maybe you'll get first dibs. And I called my sister like 4 times about this pen. I was like, Sarah, I don't know if I get this pen because it's really expensive, but it's like, and it's a mini pen. And I don't know if I need it, but I love it. And you know how much I love the stars? And it's not just like a normal pen. Like it has a different nib that has like these star engravings on it. It's beautiful. If we can get it to focus, if you're watching.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and it's just gorgeous, and it says Twinkle Stardust on the band, and it's got a little star on the top. It's just perfect. And so
if you talk so much about it and like have so many conversations with other people on deciding about it, then you're probably gonna get it.
Surprise!
Yay!
Yeah, so I ended up getting this in abroad, and unfortunately this isn't available anymore. I think they still have some in the shop because I think I saw a photo of it in there, but they didn't have any online listed last time I checked. But at least on the US site or the international site they have now. But this is, I write with this one so much. I love it. And so those are the fountain pens. That's it. That's the list.
And the inks. Can you tell us a little bit about that Sailor virtual ink show experience that Kelly and I were like FOMOing about, but also like, oh, thank goodness we weren't in it.
Yeah. If you remember from an earlier episode, there was an ink show. There has been a second since. But I got to be part of the first because I was still sort of figuring out inks that I like. And I have this rule where I only buy inks with pretty bottles, which maybe that's superficial, but it's like, if I'm going to have something, I want to like it in its entirety.
So, yes, exactly.
And I feel like, or at least I hope if you're taking extra care of your bottles, you also like the product inside more too. That's not always true. It's really not, but I like to think so. And at least with Sailor, it is. So I really loved the Sailor Ink Studio line. So that is kind of like my go-to for inks. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw that they were doing the ink show, I said, hey, I'm going to go to this. And so I was like waiting for the 9 o'clock to roll up. I found my time. I actually had a vacation scheduled at the same time. So it was perfect.
Oh, nice. Perfect.
Yeah, so it's like, I had to get some comp time off for some events I had just done. So I was like, oh, it's the middle of the week. I have time off. I'm going to talk about ink. I was so nervous because I haven't done any ink shows or pen shows or anything because I just haven't had the opportunity.
And I think no one had any idea what it's going to be like too, right? The format, right. How's this going to go? Like, do you like just shop from a website or something? Like I had no idea. So,
right. So what it ended up being is everyone gets to claim a time slot. I think it was about 30 minutes and it is a one-on-one with two people from Sailor. And so there's some Sailor North America. They do pretty much, I think, most of the handling for Sailor and some other things as well, actually. But what they had is they had a Zoom call with each of them having a camera. They're in two different locations. So one of the representatives had all the inks on the table, except for the ink studio, because that's a lot. So they had like Kobe Inkline, they had Bungu Box, they had the Manyo Inkline. They had so many others. And essentially they're like, hey, so we're just going to run you through everything we have here today. Then you can ask any questions. You can ask any questions about Sailor if you want. And then we'll ask you for your inks. So I just talked to them and I told them that I was interested in finding a yellow ink because I feel like yellow is really hard because it's very easy for it to look like pee. And I don't want it to look like that. And because I don't want a neon yellow, but I want a nice golden color.
Yes, yes.
Most golden colors. So I wanted it to be really nice. And I was having a hard time looking with samples online. And so they were so helpful at like comparing different colors. Mm. And I knew that they had the Boom and Box inks and those are really hard to get. And so I got I got three of those. And then like three more of the ink studios. I got two of the states because I grew up in Texas. So like, I had to get Texas and I live in California. So I had to get California too.
The 50 states one.
Yeah, they're really pretty too. So I only wanted to get them if I actually liked the inks. Like I don't want to just collect for the sake of collecting. I want to get stuff that I know I'm going to use because that's such a big thing for me. It's like if I get it, I'm going to use it because using it is loving it. So.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I love that.
And I think we all talk about that a fair bit too. It's like you could frame it and put it somewhere, but you could also just put it in your notebook that you're going to keep forever. So that's even better. Mm-hmm. So I ended up buying way more. I think it was like a little over $200 of ink. I think it's like 11 bottles or something.
But there was like a discount, right? Like,
yes. So, but yes, the reason I ended up buying so much was because there was a pretty hefty discount. Like there was no other way essentially to get a cheaper price for all of these inks. So at one point I kind of felt bad, but the other, I literally doubled my ink collection and my ink options. And so what I do is because I use so many pens and I write a lot. So I go through my ink kind of quick, at least in the pen, not like the actual ink bottle. Mm-hmm. So I didn't feel too bad about having that. And now I have ink for a long time. It's not like it expires in a month. So you're
exactly.
Fine.
That's awesome. I also have quite a collection myself. Just, you know, when I was still living in Taiwan and you can go to all these stores when you know, you can still go to stores and there's all these like ink specialty store. And then what they always gets so you cool. is when people are swatching it live at that place. And then you actually see the color and you're not just picking from a swatch from the internet and like, I don't blame you for really just kind of going all out on that event.
They were so kind too about like making sure they had swatches of like the actual writing rather than just like the blobs of swatches. Cause sometimes you'll use a Q-tip or whatever and that's cool, but that's not how it looks like it when it comes out of your pen, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Especially with the finer nips and stuff like, some colors just disappear basically.
Exactly. And so that was really helpful. I got to ask them. I also asked them for their favorite inks. I was like, what are your favorite inks? Give me both of those because they were really pretty. And so I bought one of them. He was like, ha ha. She chose mine. I was like, but I also want this one. She was like, ha ha. So it's really cute. thing that happened. So it was cool asking them about that. And then I got to ask them about the three, I asked, at the time, they were the new Sailor Inks, those other three, like, big shading ones. Mm-hmm. They hadn't been out in North America yet, and I was like, I need them. And so they told me, that's like, oh, they'll be in stores in, like, 2 weeks, and sure enough, they happened. So it was a really fun experience, and I think if you don't have a big ink collection, like myself, and you really do like those Sailor Inks, it's a awesome way to experience this without having to be at an actual show. So no. I hope they do another round next year. I'm sure they will. It seemed like they liked it.
Mm-hmm. And then hopefully in the future, obviously, if there's actually real shows happening, yes, again, like, that would really be the best place to go. And for people, listeners to this podcast, sometimes it's like stationery is like the paper and the washi tape and the thing, but there's also the other spectrum of like the fountain pen and the ink.
Unfortunately, yeah, for me, and I think for you, we're in all of it.
We're in both of them.
We're not just in the journals. We're not just in the fountain pens. We're not just in the planners. We got the trifecta. Also letter writing. That's its own thing too.
Letter writing too. Yeah, exactly. Leather sets. So we're in the bottom of all those rabbit holes that leads directly to the bottom of our wallets. But
yeah,
we love it because we use things and we love using them. So that's like the best thing about stationery and, you know, the healthy relationship that we have, I think, with them.
It makes me happy. It elevates my day always. I'd say it's worth it.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, to wrap up this episode, we talked about so many great things. I want to ask you to recap your favorite stationery for 2020, since it's at the end of the year.
For the video watchers, I just like raised a nice little tray. So I have, there's a lot, but if I were going to pick things just really quickly, because I want to talk about something else, like really quick, just a little shout out. But the first thing I have to say are the Pottery and Cat Neko Honko. Like, yes. I got into stamps. I knew if I got into stamps, it'd be all over. And it is. So Neko Neko in New York sells, oh goodness. So sorry, it's a stamp, it's fine. It fell. But they sell these beautiful little cat stamps, and I love cats so much. And they have all these great moods. There's one of them riding, there's one of one hiding, there's one of one fishing, there's one of one just drinking milk, and they're just such solid stamps as far as how they actually stamp.
Yes.
And so that's what I've really loved about the consistency is whenever I use them. So I could not get all of these as soon as they restocked them.
The
so
one
these,
writing a letter, I have that too.
This was the first one I got of them, and from there I was hooked essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I really love these stamps, and I use them constantly. So those are one of my favorites. Another favorite I have are the Hours washi tapes. So I have a few of them, and I've been hunting them down because they had these lines a while ago of like this museum collection that's very moons and starry. And that is just what I do for my journals as much as I can, just moons and stars, I'm there. And so they have this one called Wayfarer, and it's just beautiful. It's like a bigger washi, but it's essentially like works of art and that you just put in your journal, and it's gorgeous. And so I could not resist that. And I've loved this one so much. And there's another kind of companion to this, which I believe it's like the museum things, and it's a black and white washi. But it has all these nice little outlines of like these tools and moons and stars and other things as well that I like to use to sort of color in too. So I cut them out and color them in. And it's just like such an extra fun activity. So these are really creative washi tapes. And I didn't think about washi this way until I saw them. So
I know washi tape used to just be like, you know, patterns, like a strip of pattern. And then now today, many artists are able to express their doodles or illustrations as individual art pieces on this like infinite seam like row that you can use in your notebook. And I think that's really what I love about washi tape.
Yes. And then I think my final favorite sort of stationery item of the year as far as these groupings go, I love you fountain pens, but you know, you're forever. These are the ones that I found this year that I didn't think about, was like the independent artist sticker sheets. So I know vinyl stickers are a big thing, but when I see someone doing sticker sheets, I'm like, thank you. Thank you. Like, I get so nervous about using the vinyl, like the bigger chunky vinyl stickers. It's like, that's
the only one.
Yeah, you're paying more because there's only one, and they're usually for like other activities, but I specifically like Pipu Studio. So it's like this little character And okay. They're so cute. So it's like Pipu and Friends. You can find them on Instagram. And I have all of these stickers. I'm already almost out of plenty of them. Oh, no. So like I had these cute Switches ones. And then I like these ones. They do a lot of Animal Crossing stuff as well. Yeah. And this one's just like gamer life. It has them playing Switch and going to bed and showering and just like really mundane things.
Yes.
And that's what I like in stickers sometimes, which is weird. These are also vinyl, so they have a little bit of a lift to them, and I actually like that about them. So they kind of stand out a little bit, although I could see these making, you know, our planners a little bit more chunky than they are, but that's fine. Who cares?
That's fine.
they're going to be chunky anyway.
Yes.
And so this is just a wonderful thing. I actually ordered like 6 sheets last night, so she puts out a lot of them, and I really love what they offer. And there's like these bear characters and this little girl and a cat and a rabbit. And so I think it's just a nice, versatile set and really complements the other stickers that I have. I do my best to try to buy from independent illustrators as much as I can rather than buying sticker sheets from companies, although I do love those too. But if I see something I love from someone who's independent, I just drop my wallet. I'm like, here you go. Here's my money. You deserve it.
Like Love Soup, like you shout out so many of them on your Twitch streams each time you happen to have a haul, but like sometimes not even, like you still talk about those places, and that's what I love about the community, thanks. Which is kind of like lifting up the little smaller artists and then kind of sharing them. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing your favorites of 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess one quick thing before we round it out, there's one thing I'm working on that I think might be helpful for a lot of us in the community, not necessarily for us to use, but for us to share.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't know how many of you guys out there get the question of like, where do you get started with stationery? Like, what do you use or why do you use this? So as a guide writer, I felt like it was my duty to write a stationery guide.
What better person than a person who works professionally for guides to do?
Thank you. Thank you for your blessing. So what I need is, I guess, I just have so many people who are wanting to get into stationery and doesn't know where to start or what to consider. And so, like, even when I was saying earlier, it's like, you got to think about paper type, paper size. Do you want your paper lined? Do you want dot grade? Do you want a blank? There's all these things to consider. And so what I've been working on, and I'm hoping to have this done by the end of the year, is a big stationery guide for planners, for journaling. And then if I have time for it, also letter writing, since I think those are kind of all in the same bundle. And the idea here is I'm only one person. I've only had so much exposure to so many things. So there are a lot of other great like individual guides of like best lists and like suggestions that I want to really curate there. So it's like you have all these options to find other things from here, but use this as a baseline to like kind of think about like what paper you like or what do you really need? Like, do you really need nice paper? Maybe not. And maybe you just want a nice cover with a hardback book and that's good for you.
Yeah.
But I really just want this to be a thing that people can share easily and just, you know, have it for people who are kind of interested in getting started and need a little bit more help. So I'm hoping that'll be good for everybody. I'm still trying to figure out where that's going to live, but in time.
Please let me know. I'll definitely share it because I think that is a huge endeavor. And thank you for doing that because a lot of people try, but then it's really a large spectrum and like there's really a lot of people's preference, like, you know, considerations when it comes to picking. So people ask me all the time too, like what glue tip do you recommend? Or like, what do you do for this one? And I'm like, it's so hard because I tried so many for 6 years and that's my conclusion. But
right,
for you might need actually my second year preference versus 6 years preference. So I can't wait to see the guide. And you know, if you want to put like a little extra excerpt on how to set up Twitch live stream or anything related to that, I think that would be a great continuation of
I think it'd be fun to do a community guide section in there as well, or a different guide, like a
separate guide.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again, Miranda, for joining the Stationery Cafe. You can find her as Havoc Rose, Havokrose. Actually, I never asked. Like,
why is it where Havoc that came Rose? From? The quick story. It's very easy. I was like 12 or 13 years old. I was making my Xbox gamer tag, and I said, I want something that's girly but also fierce. And so Havoc Rose was born, has stuck ever since, which may be good or bad. People seem to be cool with it, so. That's what we're rolling with. But yeah, I'm pretty much there. Of course, I do a lot of work for IGN. So if you like video games, please check out our guides. We work really hard on them.
I know. You can find her on Instagram, and that's your Twitch handle, but you also now have a dedicated stationery account to call Have a Rose Writes. So that's also where you can see her stuff. And then we can't wait to, like, kind of course, hear about where the guide is going to be. And, you know, but don't stress too much over it too. Like, you know, don't
put
too
fun. Much.
Yeah. Enjoy the process. Yes. Like, don't feel overburdened, like, because we, like, we shout it out right here, but, like, but secretly, yes, please give it to us.
Okay, we'll put the deadline as the end of the year. Well, I work well under pressure. It's fine. It's part of my job anyway. Just another section. It's good.
Just another day. But anyway, and then of course, look forward to her Twitch live streams every Sunday is her current schedule. And yes. I think if you go to her channel, you can click on the schedule tab and you'll be able to see like exactly what time and that you do your stream. Like, I don't want to state a fixed time right now in case you change it later, but like check it out there.
That's the best place to find it. I think it also adjusts to your time zone if you go to the schedule. But yes. For anyone who is on the West Coast in the United States, I stream at 11:30 a.m. PT, and that's usually for till about 1:30, or if I end a little earlier, sometimes I do, but
for fun stationery content, like, you know, talks about everything analog, and then just like ideas for journaling, what you do on a daily basis, and then of course the cats.
Also sometimes just handwriting. Sometimes I just practice my handwriting. We get wild.
I love it. And anyway, I'll see you there on Sunday. And for everyone else, the Stationery Cafe can be found on Instagram. We have a website, stationerycafe.com. And as always, look forward to a great episode next week. Bye.